Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
Listening to Nerdette Recaps Game of Thrones with Peter Segal. I'm Greta Johnson.
I'm Trisha Bobita, and we are joined, of course, by Peter.
I've missed you so.
We've missed you too.
You know, it's odd, we all work in the same building, but just to make this moment more piquant, I've avoided seeing you now for the last 8 months.
That's
why I've been hiding behind cubicle walls, just because I wanted this to be special, and it was worth it.
Well, that's where all the ducking and dodging was.
Exactly, yes.
Well, good. I'm glad we've gotten that out of the way. Thank you, Peter. So I feel like we should explain to people who maybe are just stumbling upon this for the first time what is actually happening when Nerdette recaps Game of Thrones with Peter Segal.
I'm going to guess, and this is a wild thing, could it be that Nerdette, i.e. you, recaps Game of Thrones, the TV series, with me, Peter Segal?
Wow.
That's about it. Yeah, it's a pretty descriptive title, this show has.
Yes, it really is.
So we will do the SEO.
That's the last thing anyone expected.
We will do it every Monday morning after every Sunday episode, and we will do it for all of season 6, and we'll have maybe a little bit of a wrap party at the end, so we'll tell you more about that later on. But yeah, we're going to do this every week because there's always so much to talk about.
There is, and if there isn't, we'll make it up.
And what is the Nerdette Recaps origin story, Peter?
The kneecaps are, is that the kneecaps?
Well, kneecaps, that's good.
That's good.
I like it. We're going to keep
that. We'll just call it kneecaps. As I remember, the origin story was I wrote you, Greta, an email saying, do you want to do a show in which we talk about Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
And you said yes.
Because people in your real life were tired of hearing you talk
about it. Nobody who works on my other radio show, which will go unnamed, wants to hear me talk about Game of Thrones.
You do sneak in an awful lot of Game of Thrones
references. I often do. Although, do you know what I have discovered in the intervening year, or 8 months, whatever it's been? I can annoy them even more by talking about Hamilton.
It's gotten even less accessible.
Yeah, it's gotten to the point that when I start making Hamilton references, that Ian Chillog, the producer who most hates my Game of Thrones references, starts begging me to make Game of Thrones references instead of Hamilton references.
Peter, I don't think you and I have talked about Hamilton.
Oh, well, excuse us, Trisha. Greta and I have to talk.
Should we do like footsteps away then and a door opening, closing?
And then all of a sudden you hear us completely doing the entire score from the How Does the Sky Smell?
What if we recapped that?
It would be a one-episode podcast.
There is already a podcast that just every episode they talk about another aspect of Hamilton the musical.
How long is that going to go on?
Which makes us look like we're popular and sane.
Yeah, man. Maybe we're not nerds after all.
I know.
I don't know.
It's like a variation of Rule 36. There's always someone more nerdy than you.
It's good. It's really good. So the notion here is, you know, obviously this episode is coming out before the actual season has begun.
Right.
So we thought we could talk a little bit about where season 5 left off, like who is dead, who's not, all that
good
stuff.
Who is maybe dead, mostly dead, slightly alive, as the Princess Bride would teach us.
This has to be a basic primer, because if you don't know anything about Game of Thrones and you're just tuning into this, what are you doing?
Yeah.
There's so many more valuable things you could do with your time, limited as it is on this earth, than listening to a podcast of three people you don't know talking about a TV show you don't watch. Stop it.
But if you don't want to have to remember for yourself what happened in season 5, we could just rattle it off pretty fast.
We could sort of bring everybody up to speed.
Yeah, should we talk about what else we hope to accomplish
Please.
In this prologue episode?
Yes.
Just for some business sake.
Sure.
So we're going to talk about what happened last season. We are going to discuss what we may or may not know based on press and trailers and what Trisha likes to call scuttlebutt.
The internet scuttlebutt.
Interwebs.
Yes.
And we're also going to talk about what we're the most excited about in this coming season, which for me is nothing.
Oh, ow.
There it is.
I should explain to new listeners, again, what is wrong with you, that one of the things that makes I feel our podcast about Game of Thrones different from the many other podcasts about Game of Thrones is that one of your co-hosts, Greta Johnson, doesn't seem to really like the show very much, which I think adds a little sort of, you know, variation to our otherwise enthusiastic appreciation.
She says, just on so late.
It's too late at night for Greta. She's our reluctant hero. In her words,
oh,
I say spoil sport.
That's very sweet. So the other thing we're going to talk about this time around is, Peter, you have this list that you put on the Twitters of presidential candidates and who they would be in Game of Thrones.
Well, I thought I invented this last year.
Patriarchy jingle, please.
The patriarchy speaking, so ladies be quiet. Peter Sagal is the worst.
No, I really did. I honestly thought one day, I sat down on Twitter, it was sometime in like maybe while the last season was rolling, and mm-hmm. I said, oh, I mean, who are the real life counterparts? We even talked about it on the show. But it has apparently become a thing that people do, including people associated with the making of the show. They like talk about it at panels.
Oh, that's fun.
And when I've seen them or read about them talking about it, I realize that they're all wrong.
What you're about
to get here is the absolutely authoritative mapping of presidential candidates to Game of Thrones characters. It's coming up. Accept no substitutes. This can be used to settle bar bets, arguments among your family. You just say, well, Peter Sagal said X, and it is
thus. Does that
work? Oh, yes, it certainly.
But it doesn't work for you in
oddly,
your life,
isn't that? It's
right?
One of the weird ironies that other people can cite me as authority, but it never works for me.
Uh-huh. That is unfortunate.
Isn't it, though?
It's hard to be Peter Sagal. Okay, so.
That's the title of Patriarchy Jingles Volume 2.
It's hard to be Peter Sagal.
With a sad face picture of me in the album.
All right, moving on. So, moving on, Season 5. Should we do this geographically?
Why not?
I kind of like it that way. Where should we start?
The North.
The North. The North remembers.
All right.
Do we remember the North?
Yeah, what happened?
You want me to say?
I mean...
Well, the last thing happened in the North. Let me think. So way north, well, let's leave that for the last.
Yeah.
But over at Winterfell, we had Sansa, who was being imprisoned and being utterly miserable. There was that incredibly distressing sex scene, if you even want to call it that. And it... We know that Stannis Baratheon's plans came to naught. He may be the worst, but now he is also the deadest.
Yeah.
I think he is the most certainly dead.
As I think you guys know, there was some discussion over this since they didn't show the actual, tendency to do so, a knife blow, sword blow that decapitated him. There was some discussion. Are you saving him? Are you like, is he really alive? No, said the producers. He's dead. You didn't need to see that. And I agree.
Yeah, he's all the way dead.
He's pretty much entirely dead. So we meanwhile have Sansa and Theon, known as Reek. The last thing we saw of them is them leaping off the parapet onto a pretty skimpy-looking snowbank.
Yeah, but we were all concerned about that.
But since we have seen Sansa in the trailers, we're pretty sure she walked away. What else? And then we have Brienne, who's out there somewhere, still hanging out with Podrick. Last thing we saw of her is she killed Stannis the Worst.
And then we have Oathkeeper, her sword. She has a good sword name.
She does have a good sword name. And then Ramsay Bolton is off being Ramsay somewhere. And he also, we know, appears in the next season.
Okay, so we're going to save the wall for last. So beyond the wall?
Sure. If we skip the wall, let's skip over the wall then to beyond the wall.
Yeah.
Thank you. Let's do more of that, please. We need to get you some wooden blocks. We'll just do old school.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Now with more special effects.
You thought you hated Peter before he was a Foley artist.
Brandon and Hodar are back this season. We missed them a whole...
Oh, yeah, they're back.
They're back. We had a whole season where they were ostensibly out there somewhere, but we didn't really get any screen time for them in the last season.
And I believe that although he wasn't played by Max von Sydow in the two seasons ago, the weird guide he has there, but I think Max von Sydow, is that what one says? I think he's now the guy who Bran is out there communing with. So we'll see more of Bran.
And then if we swoop down to King's Landing...
Which I apparently am just calling in town now.
Yeah.
Greta earlier goes, wasn't Littlefinger, wasn't he in town?
Yeah.
And I said, do you mean King's Landing? She considers King's Landing going to town.
She's like one of those annoying San Francisco people. Like when you say the city, that's what she means. It's like, come on. Stop being so provincial. Meanwhile, King's Landing. So what's going on there, guys?
Uncle Kevan.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Seemed to take charge.
Yeah.
Cersei's there. She would like to be in charge, as always, but now there's another dude in the family who's trying to take...
Have we seen Cersei since she got her walk of shame?
No.
Yeah,
well,
in a room with Uncle Kavan.
Right.
And the mountain, right?
Yeah. Right.
Maybe
well, we
alive.
Assume it's the
we
mountain.
Think.
He's Robert Strong. Oh, I should say this. For people who did not hear it, on Wait, Don't Tell Me, we interviewed Aleena Heady.
Oh, yeah. She was lovely.
She was
it
really
was
nice.
It was confusing.
It was. And there were a couple things. A, she's incredibly lovely, and she's known, apparently, for just being this very bubbly, very pleasant personality. But when I was told, Aleena Heady, Queen Cersei, is going to be calling you, I sat there terrified because she can bring the evil, as we know.
Yes.
But one thing she did say is that that is not her naked body. She confirmed that.
Right.
That we had read that, and some internet people had suggested it based on comparing shots. But yes, that was not her. She was not naked. That was a body double.
Now everyone knows they can just stop listening right now. That's,
exactly.
That was
given
the main
it away.
Question about
So she's
five,
there.
Right?
She's probably pretty unhappy.
Yeah, but I mean, like, she's not actually shamed, though, right? I mean, that was a brutal scene.
I don't think
obviously.
She's going to reconsider her actions.
But yeah, no. I mean, she, like, if anything, this has only hardened her resolve to be the worst.
Do you remember the first time you saw a dead body?
Mother.
All I could think about when she died was what would happen to her now. Every day, every night. What does Mama look like now? Has she started to bloat? Has her skin turned black? Have her lips peeled back from her teeth? I think about locking Marcella in a crypt. I think about her beautiful little face starting to collapse.
Don't think about it.
The
yeah,
most
there is that
devious
great
person,
bit
right?
in, I think, the first trailer where someone says,
"Order your man to step aside or there will be violence."
And she says,
"I choose violence."
Which
yeah,
is
man.
Lena Headey. She can bring it.
Welcome back to Nerdette Recaps Game of Thrones with Peter Sagal. I'm Trisha Bobita along with Greta Johnson, and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Peter Sagal.
Queen Marjorie is still in the clink, if I'm not mistaken. Still in prison,
right?
Oh,
I think you're right.
Yeah, so we don't
know. Right.
And that means that her whiny-ass husband is still like, "Oh, I want my queen."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his cat, Sir Pounce.
Yeah.
Sir Pounce.
Where is Sir Pounce? We haven't seen Sir Pounce for a while.
He's in town. Yeah. Really?
We love a good callback. We're students of comedy.
There you go. Meanwhile, so when last we were in Dorne, it's funny, like you have Dorne listed here, and I think somebody wrote, "Who cares?"
Yeah.
Dorne.
Trisha wrote that
Trisha
on my behalf.
Care for Dorne?
She wrote it for me.
I wrote it for Greta. Greta hates Dorne.
Yeah. Dorne is lame.
We spent an awful lot of time in Dorne last season to very little purpose, but it did end up. Even though, I mean, I remember saying after the penultimate episode, we said we spent all this time in Dorne and nothing got accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
It all amounted to nothing. None of that was necessary. And then in the very last, I guess it was the last episode.
Yeah.
They offed young, oh, what is her name?
Marcella.
Thank you.
She's another one, though.
She's
right?
poisoned by the sand snakes while she's being taken away by Jaime and Bronn. They get her out of Dorne. That's their quest is to get her back to King's Landing. And then they think they've succeeded. And then you find out. No, she's been poisoned.
Yes.
But, I mean, it is worth pointing out that in all of these scenes, you don't actually see anyone officially dead, right? I mean, we've heard that Stannis is for real dead. It's fair to assume that Marcella's probably dead.
I think
but,
she's dead.
But, I mean, you never know.
It's true. You never know. Although this is, has there been an instance in the show so far, and
fake
I say
death?
That, I say that laden with meaning, so far, where a character has been presented as dead and you turn out, nope, with the very quick
true.
Exception of, what's his name, the Lightning Lord, Barry something. The guy who the guy with the eye patch who got killed, and the next thing you know, he's up and happy again.
Right.
Beric Dondarrion, thank you very much,
wow.
Nerds.
Wow.
Other than that, we haven't
I want to give credit. Hang on, Peter. I want people to know that there was no producer who fed that name to you. You just found it in the crevices of your brain.
There is
like
no one in this building.
Barry.
Barry. You know, Barry. Barry. I don't know. Like Marion Barry? No, Beric Dondarrion. He leapt up because he gets resurrected, but no one else has come back. Not even, and I know this is in your notes.
Lady Stoneheart?
Lady Stoneheart.
Mm-hmm.
She's been gone for two seasons now, and she has not come back. So if they did bring back, say, Stannis, and I think they're not going to, it would be a real reversal of everything they've done before.
That's true. I guess that is partly why Game of Thrones blows people's minds, is because the people who die are actually dead.
They're absolutely dead.
Normally in TV, that's not actually the case. It's just the end of the season nonsense.
Yep.
So, Dorne.
Dorne. So, so Marcella's dead. The Sand Snakes killed Marcella because they want a war with King's Landing because they're still pretty mad about Oberyn Martell.
Yep.
And it looks like...
War could be brewing.
War could be brewing, which is always what it's doing.
That's a nice little poem.
Again, much like Hamilton, I like rhyming things.
Good. Marine.
Marine, we have adjacent to Marine, I guess, on a hill. We'll call this location Marine, on a hill.
On a hill. Somewhere. I think it's somewhere. It's supposed to be somewhere in, what's the name? The Dothraki territory.
Yes, right.
The Sea of Grass.
We have Dany being circled.
The Dothraki circled. Sea.
Yes.
And this is like, I don't know, man. The dragons just dropped her off there. Is this?
Well, Drogon was
mad
hurt.
At her?
Drogon was hurt.
I thought he was more tired. It was a long trip.
He was just kind
of crabby. Remember that great scene? He was like, "Come on, Drogon, get him!" I was like,
"Drogon hates Mondays."
Drogon sitting there with a cup of coffee, like Garfield. Anyway, so Daenerys wandered away, and she was apparently the last seen captured by yet another Dothraki horde. A Khalasar.
And then we have Tyrion. In Marine,
yes.
Who's ready to be the Leo McGarry to Danny's Jed Bartlett.
I am amazed that it took you whatever 20 minutes that we've been talking to make your first West Wing reference. So congratulations on your restraint.
We're on track.
We're on track.
That's good. Yes, he looks well installed. As I think we predicted mid-season that he was going to end up there.
Yeah, I do look forward to those two. I guess he has to find her now, which is a little annoying.
She's out there. And meanwhile, Jorah Mormont and what's his name? I'm being really great. Professional recapper lady. You know, what's his name and that other guy.
You're like the Kate McKinnon SNL character, like somebody's mom recaps a thing. She just talks about, and then Redbeard and what's her face and then mustache
guy.
That's
pretty much me. They're heading off to find Dany, and we don't know if they're going to succeed.
I wonder how long it's going to take to find Dany.
I hope it's not very long. Thing? That's annoying.
We'll find out soon enough.
I want it to reset pretty quickly, but we will find out.
Well, we know that these producers, the makers of Game of Thrones, know on which side of the naked body their bread is buttered. That was a complete...
Wow!
That was terrible.
That was really
bad. They are not keeping Daenerys, Emilia Clarke off screen for any longer than they absolutely have to.
Yeah, that's true.
We have one other location to get to.
The Wall.
Wait, no, one more before the wall.
That?
Bravos, Arya.
Oh, yeah, Arya and Bravos.
Yeah, Arya
last
and Bravos.
We saw of her, she got in trouble because she killed that Kingsguard guy.
Yep, and so now...
Sir Meryn Trant, who had it coming.
Yeah, he did. He was the worst.
But the faceless fellow...
can we call him a faceless fella?
Faceless fella is mad, and last we saw, he blinded her through some mystical means.
Are you listening, blind girl? Do you hear them talking? Do any of them talk to you? No. So sad. Stand and fight, blind girl.
I can't see.
Well, that's your problem, not mine.
So Maisie Williams blind. Has said those contacts hurt like the dickens.
You'd expect that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Do you find that out in your internet scuttlebutt?
It's in the scuttlebutt.
It's in the scuttlebutt. So that now, can we finally talk about the wall?
It's time.
I thought he was the man to lead us through the long night, but I was wrong.
Yeah. So we all know the very last image of the last season was our favorite. I did not realize this to the extent to which Kit Harington, Jon Snow, is such a sex symbol.
I didn't know that.
I mean, because hopelessly heterosexual, look at him and go, he's sort of a scruffy guy with sort of woebegone look.
Yeah.
But apparently the ladies and the gay guys just love him.
I feel like he kind of grows on you.
Yeah.
You
know? Sort of like his beard, which never quite comes in, but never quite goes away.
Yeah. It's just that enduring weird beauty.
But people are sad because he seems to be quite dead.
Mostly dead is slightly alive. I'm just saying.
Why do you think he's not dead? You think we've heard about John Harrington being on the set.
We've heard he's been on set.
What did I say?
You just called him John.
I did?
John,
you didn't hear the parentheses because I said John, open parentheses, Harrington, close parentheses. So I was right.
Perfect. The silent parentheses.
Exactly.
Sorry, I didn't pick
perfect
up on
for
those.
Radio.
Yeah.
I think he's alive because I think that the way I guess he doesn't have to be alive in the show to be alive in the books. We can talk a little bit about that conundrum.
And we will.
Yes.
But I think that the story was leading up to him and Dany at least meeting, if not being the two who sort of end up in the final, Iron Throne scenario. And so why would you kill off the character who you've been playing up to become the penultimate, if not the ultimate, winner of the throne.
We don't need to get into this, but there is a lot of speculation based on clues in the books.
I've watched those YouTube videos.
that suggest that Jon Snow is, in fact, the rightful heir to the throne,
yes.
that he's going to end up with Daenerys, and that's where everything has been pointing since the very first word of the book was written, published 20 years ago. But if that's the case, how can he be dead? And there is indication that he is not. That, in fact, or that rather that he is dead, but that is not a permanent condition.
So, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, seems to me that even if dude is not actually dead, what's her, Melisandre showed up at
Harold Hill
the right time
of Westeros. She comes into town, creates a big ruse, and then gets out of Dodge as soon as everybody realized nobody knows how to play their instruments.
No, remember, in town is Red Landing.
Yes,
King's Landing,
Peter.
The Red Keep, King's Landing. Here's some elaborate nerdery. Ready? We remember Sir Barry, or whatever it is, Beric Dondarrion. That is a scene in the book that they recreated for the TV show in which he is killed in a duel with the Hound and is immediately resurrected. Now, in the book, that leads pretty directly to the resurrection of Catelyn Stark, who comes back as Lady Stoneheart. And as we've discussed, they didn't do that in the TV series. They decided, nope, she's dead, she's gone, at least so far. So, if they didn't want to do the second part of that, why did they bother with the first part? Why did they have the whole scene in the cave? Why did they have Beric Dondarrion? Why did they have him resurrected? Because maybe they were setting something else up. And remember that he was resurrected by an appeal, and I know the name of the character, Thoros of Myr, to the Red God, right? Which is the same god that Melisandre worships. Therefore, we have a setup now a number of seasons ago in which priests or priestesses of the one true god, the Red God, can bring people back to life. Why did we need that? I think we're about to find out.
Also, there's just a lot of sexual tension between Jon Snow and Melisandre.
I still find that to be the funniest thing ever.
When they're taking the slow wooden elevator up the wall and she says something to him about being a virgin.
Are you a virgin? And then the scene where she opens her robe and he has to stare lovingly at her torso for a good 30 seconds. It was hilarious. Lovingly is not the right word. So the speculation, I think, can we all agree that Jon Snow is coming back?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm on Team Jon Snow being alive.
There's no way that he's not.
Yeah.
What do we do if he doesn't come back? We're going to keep doing this,
probably.
I assume.
Under protest.
Yes, under protest, I will continue.
Does that wrap up our summary?
I think so, yeah. I think we should move on.
The real war is between the living and the dead. And make no mistake, the dead are coming.
In just a minute, our predictions for season 6 and Peter cast the presidential candidates into Westeros. Welcome back to Nerdette Recaps Game of Thrones with Peter Sagal. I'm Trisha Bobita along with Greta Johnson, and wait, don't tell me is Peter Sagal. All right, Greta, Peter, let's each give just one, because we'll have plenty as we go forward, but just one prediction for season 6. Mine, I'll go ahead and go first. Mine is that I think we are going to see the return of Mama Stark and Lady Stoneheart. It's more wishful thinking than anything. I just think it would be fun to have, now that we have so few Starks left and they're so scattered, to have her back in the show. Would be fun. I think if they're going to go beyond the books as they can do now because they've now surpassed in terms of some of the storylines what the canon is from Germ's books, why not? Let's do it. Let's bring back Lady Stoneheart. Let's have her do some crazy stuff.
Yeah, First thing, didn't we agree it was Grimm? We went over this.
I'm sorry. Yes. George R.R. Martin,
like
Grimm or Germ.
All right.
It's like Jif Gif.
Yep.
Jif Gif.
Both are good.
I do think it is important to point out to emphasize what you have just pointed out, Trisha, which is that now we have officially deviated from the books. I think what makes this especially important at this time is that Peter no longer knows what is going to
happen.
It
is going to be so hard to be so obnoxious, given that crippling
lack of knowledge.
Exactly. I have, as everybody knows who endured these prior podcasts, I have read the books and would constantly go on about the differences between the books and strategizing from the writer's point of view. And now I can't do that anymore. I have no idea what's going to happen.
I mean, you read books about the books.
I have read books about the books.
Oh, dear.
No, actually, I haven't.
You would if there was one.
From what I understand, and this is a vague understanding, because the producers, the showrunners, Benioff and I can never remember the
Weiss.
Other guy's name, Benioff and Weiss, have been working in such close collaboration with George R. R. Martin, including his writing a single episode a season. That's part of his deal. What they're going to show us can't vary tremendously, I think, from what George R. R. Martin had planned out. So we're going to be able to get a sense. I mean, it's not going to like have a huge change in tone or intent or whatever, but it's going to be completely new territory for everybody. It's kind of exciting, a little scary.
So what are you most excited for?
I guess I'm most excited to finally be able to watch this TV show like most other normal human beings,
cool.
where I have no idea what's going to happen. And whenever I sit down, I'll be like watching The Sopranos again.
That's so funny because you would never have chosen that for yourself.
Never, never. I would always choose the smug satisfaction of foreknowledge rather than the more human pleasure of spontaneous enjoyment.
So we have a listener question here, Peter,
yes.
that I'm just going to pepper in while we're here. Does your obsession with the show ever pose problems in your life? It's a really good question, right?
I'm trying to think. I mean, looking around the wreckage of my personal life, I would love to be able
to blame it
on Game of Thrones as opposed to deeper and more persistent flaws. But no, I think frankly, these days, being obsessed with a particular television show, no matter what it is pretty much par for the course. It's kind of weird let me ask you, when's the last time you said to somebody, so what are you watching? And they said, nothing, I don't watch TV.
Yeah, that's
how weird.
Those
would
people
that be?
Are annoying in a whole other way.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, so I don't think it's a problem. I hope.
I don't think it's a problem.
I mean, here's the real question. If someone said to me, Peter, I've done this analysis and it turns out that all of your problems, and I have problems, are due to your obsessive interest in Game of Thrones, you must give it up in order to solve all your problems, would you do it? And I'd be like, I don't know. I'd be like, oh, it's a pretty good TV show.
I mean, you'd got to know if they're going to do just the 7 or 10 seasons.
Yeah, I don't
There's
know.
Mitigating
yeah,
factors
yeah,
here.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I will say it does, as I think I said earlier, it annoys the hell out of my coworkers. But since I enjoy annoying
right,
the
right,
hell out
that's,
of my coworkers,
that's
really
course,
a plus.
Too, yeah.
It's a plus.
It's just like the cherry on top of the
it really is.
All right, Greta, what's your prediction and or hope for season 6?
My prediction and or hope, I think what I'm most looking forward to is Sansa Stark being a badass. You know, I think they played that up. I think it is time for a number of reasons.
We said that a year ago.
I know. That's the thing, man.
We you were know? All like, this is going to be the season where Sansa finally, you know, gets it going.
Stands up to the man.
She's looking tough in the trailers.
Yeah, she is.
I don't know. Maybe this is the device through which I can just keep complaining because it's still not going to happen.
If it doesn't happen this season, I think at this point we can just write her off to being annoying. Although I've always felt she's kind of annoying.
Fair.
I mean, like I have a Twitter friend, Nicole Cliff, who named her puppy Sansa. And I was like, that is a terrible idea.
Oh,
it's
no.
going to betray your other puppies.
Why wouldn't you
it's
name him
a weak
Sir Pounce?
Mewling. Exactly. Arya, name your dog Arya. She's cool.
Arya.
She's a psychopath, but go on. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
I mean, all animals are psychopaths.
No, just yours, Greta.
Okay.
So my prediction is a very easy one, and this shows my reticence to go out on a limb when I don't have any actual foreknowledge. I think Jorah Mormont has got to bite it. I said he was going to bite it at the end of last season. I thought he was a past tense of
I
bite.
I like it.
Bought,
yeah, bought.
Bought. He bought it. He didn't buy it. He didn't.
Bitten.
He had not bitten it. Were that he to bite it, that's a subjective death.
Uh-huh.
Subjunctive,
the
sorry.
Future perfect.
Future perfect. He shall have bitten it.
There it is.
He is going to bite it, finally, this season. Mainly because his whole character arc is pretty much played out. He's going to do something either tremendously heroic or tremendously tragic in regards to Dany, and then he's going to die. And the only shot we have of him in the trailer is him looking at his terrible psoriasis and going, whoa.
By psoriasis, you mean grayscale,
I mean
yes.
grayscale,
Which is real.
It's real.
Okay.
Okay. So he's going to buy it. But that's easy. Everybody knows this. I'm not going out on a limb.
So we have had a lot of people, actually, weirdly enough, asking for you to recap your presidential candidate situation.
I think I explained this prior. This came up last year, and it came up again earlier this year.
Early days in the campaign.
I revised it. Now, I have this list here, and like I said, it is authoritative. This is the truth.
Uh-huh.
So there is no arguments.
There is no arguing,
I should say. My grammar is poor.
Uh-huh.
But you'll also notice that a lot of the people I'm about to mention are dead politically. They're no longer raised. But that makes sense because at this point in Game of Thrones, most of the characters are dead.
Okay. True.
So it all kind of fits. So we'll start with Jeb Bush, which is really the easiest one. And that was Stannis Baratheon because he has a familial claim to the title. He was very well funded. And we saw Stannis get the money from the Iron Bank of Braavos. And he is, of course, dead.
Scott, no arguments there.
Scott Walker, I went for Renly Baratheon because he was charming to his followers. Don't write in. Popular, again, to his followers. Don't write in. Very well supported and also dead. And in fact, his death, Scott Walker's death, came suddenly early and surprisingly so.
Yeah, I kind of forgot that he was part of it.
But we all thought Renly was going to make a big claim, was going to make a big deal. And the next thing you know, the shadow baby is killing him.
I forgot about the shadow baby.
A lot of argument about Ted Cruz online.
Yeah.
And I am here to tell you, just settling the argument, that Ted Cruz is Ramsay Bolton.
Wow.
He's a former outsider. He's utterly ruthless. He's angling for legitimacy. And both Ramsay and Ted Cruz have killed some guys. That's true. Marco Rubio is this is a character not in the TV show. I could not find one in the TV show to fit Marco. Maybe I will allow people to suggest their own. But from the books, he's Quentin Martell. He's young, charming, again, a lot of support, very stealthy, and completely doomed. And now dead.
For a second, I thought it was going to be someone, you said not from the TV show, and I didn't think of the books. I was like, is this going to be
a Gilligan?
Like someone from Arrested Development?
Some sweaty TV character?
Yeah.
Speaking of West Wing.
I got excited.
Rand Paul is drunk Tyrion. Kissel just says things. You're all idiots. And it never does him any good. Bernie Sanders, we have to move to the Democrats. Bernie Sanders is the High Sparrow. He seems really nice. But he's actually quite radical, and he has really enthusiastic followers.
Also, always sort of windblown hair for some reason.
Yeah.
The appearance factor actually works for that.
And Hillary, of course, remains as she was in the first iteration of this Daenerys because she has a familial claim to the throne. She's utterly determined. She's the only woman versus a field of men, and she will not get a goddamn move on.
So,
would you just get it over with, Daenerys?
Can I take issue? Are you done?
You may. It won't do you any good, but you can try.
So I was thinking about it.
Yes.
And I kind of feel like Bernie is Daenerys.
Oh, please go on.
Because nobody really saw him coming. You know, like I think Danny has that sort of outsidery. Like no one thought that Bernie Sanders would have held on as long as he has up against these well-established forces. Right?
With these millennial dragons
behind
him.
Right.
What could he do?
Yeah. I really like to think of Bernie as, you know, wearing
naked
those dresses and stuff.
No. No, that's not right.
You don't think so? Because then guess who Hillary would be in that scenario?
Who would Hillary be in that
Hillary
scenario?
Hillary would be Cersei.
Hillary is not Cersei. Somebody suggested on Twitter that Hillary was Cersei. And I say this out of no particular fondness for Hillary Clinton, but Cersei is not that smart. And whatever you can say about Hillary Clinton, and say what you want, she's not dumb.
That's true.
And Cersei there's a whole section of the third book, the fourth book, which contributed significantly to last season, in which Cersei is more or less in charge and keeps screwing things up because she's just not that politically adept.
Yeah, that's a good point.
For example, her major error was allowing the Sparrows to get back together, the paramilitary force of the church. And that turned out to be a really bad choice for her. And Hillary would not be that dumb.
Okay.
Maybe Cersei is Marco Rubio then.
They're both cute.
Yeah, they're sort of like trying to get by on their looks.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that little charm. Bernie, I'm worried about, and Bernie Sanders, I thought, you know, I mean, the idea of an outsider coming in from nowhere is an interesting one. And
isn't
is there
it,
a character
thought,
like that?
I mean, I think that is to be her fate, isn't it? That, you know, and I think to a certain extent you've already seen it, right? Where everyone underestimated her.
Yeah. Yet at the same time, now she's sort of the obvious claimant. In fact,
yeah. But only to us as watchers of the show, not to anyone who's duking it out in King's Landing or Westeros.
Interesting you mention that, because one of the things that I think is going to happen in the upcoming season is they will start using material not from future as of yet unpublished books, but from book number 5 that were not in play in season 6, a lot of which has to do with the people from the Iron Islands. Our old friend, they call her Yara in the TV show because her name was too much like another character's, and her crazy brothers Victarion and Urarion. I don't know.
That sounds
Oblivion,
right.
Oblivion, whatever his name, Urien, I think. And these are guys who are like, they are thinking that they would like to be in charge. And what they see is the way to be in charge is head over to Meereen and hook up in whatever way they mean that with this Daenerys, who, of course, they underestimate because she's just a woman. So
right.
If that follows, then a lot of everybody's attention in the world of Westeros will be facing east to Meereen, as Daenerys, even though she's now gone, her presence in the world is more and more well known.
All right. You can... No.
What about Trump?
Trump is really weird. And people ask me this. Victarion of the Iron Islands, Victarion Greyjoy, is most like Trump because he's, I don't know if I can say this in a podcast, batshit insane. And because what's weird is George R. R. Martin, the author of all of this, is simply too smart a writer and a plotter to have ever presupposed a Donald Trump-like character.
Truth is stranger than fiction.
Exactly. Imagine if in this particular scenario, if it's more fun to imagine this is like a screenplay by your guy, Aaron Sorkin.
Your guy.
I belong to Aaron Sorkin.
Your guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, if Aaron Sorkin went to his producers and said, I got this idea where this absolute lunatic, know-nothing, blowhard, racist douche nozzle becomes the leading candidate for president, and he doesn't know anything about anything, and he says racist, hateful crap on TV all the time and people love him, his producers would look at him and say, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. It would never happen. It's uninteresting. George R. R. Martin's characters are scheming. They're smart. They're sly. They're cruel. That's why we like them. And just to have – can you imagine like if you're watching some incredibly clever byplay scene between Tyrion and Cersei in the throne room? And some asshole with terrible hair comes and goes, oh, we're just going to throw all these assholes out. They're terrible. I'm going to be in charge. You're going to win. You know, like, Westeros is going to win so much, you're going to get sick of winning. Nobody
would
watch that.
You know how we beat the White Walkers? We just double the size of the wall.
Exactly. I'm going to build a new and bigger wall. I mean, although maybe he had an idea.
You know what? He has the idea that would actually solve most of Westeros'
That's
problems.
That's true.
Build the wall.
He's going to build the wall. He's going to make the White Walkers pay for the wall.
Make Westeros great again?
Yeah. I'm telling you, though, this is all ludicrous, which is why there's no character in Game of Thrones who can match Trump, because who would want to watch that?
Fair enough. If you want to disagree with us, please do it at NerdUpPodcast or at Peter Sagal on Twitter, but we would also really like it if you called in
Yes.
so that we can hear your anger at
this
us.
This being a podcast.
Yeah, or
we've got
agreement. So go ahead and call us. That's 312-948-4687 312-948-4687
I'm pretty sure I tried to come up with like a fun thing that spelled out last year and it just didn't work.
Yeah. There's another, you didn't ask about John Kasich. No one cares about John Kasich.
Oh, yeah.
I tried to think of a map for John Kasich, but there's no character, just as there's no character in Westeros or in Game of Thrones who's as lunatic, crazy, stupid as Donald Trump.
Interesting.
There's also nobody who is as, relatively moderate and sane as John Kasich. There's nobody who's like, you know, everybody, let's just work out our issues.
We can
work
along.
This out. I balance the budget in Highgarden a number of years in a row. We've got employment up. Bounty from the garden has increased 13% since I've, you know, and there's nobody like that. And, you know, it's, so there's no sane person. The only person I can think of is John Aaron, who was dead before the whole thing started, which might, in fact, be like John Kasich.
312-948-4687 is the number to call. We hope to feature your guys' messages in each of these episodes. We'll sort of, you know, there'll be conversation starting points for us during the recap. So, yeah, give us a call. And again, the Twitters also work. We are at Nerdette Podcast, and that guy is at Peter Sagal.
I am. That's where I am. I'm sitting here over here at Peter Sagal. I can't get away from it.
This show is produced by us with help from our WBEZ cohort, especially Joe Dassault. Thanks also to our interns Maya Cole and Sebrin Mallard.
Joel Meyer is our executive producer.
Our theme music was composed by Andrew Edwards of Blue Police Box Music.
You can find links to all of the things, including the sign-up thingy for our weekly newsletter and all sorts of other good stuff at nerdatpodcast.com.
Make sure to take the plunge and subscribe wherever you're listening, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever it is, so that you catch us every Monday after Game of Thrones airs on Sunday.
And listen to our other podcast, too, if you want. It's pretty good. No?
That was confident.
That was a really strong sell,
yeah,
wasn't it?
That's why you've risen so high in the world of audio, Greta, because your confidence and your saleswomanship.
Thanks.
It's not bad. Maybe you want to listen.
You might like it. It's kind of fun. Okay. Sweet. Thanks, guys. See you next time.
Done.
Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.